Happy Friday, guys.
Oh, man. Okay, I have so much I could say.
This isn't anything that I've experienced personally. It's just something I remember reading, and it could be not true.
Oh, okay. Do I save that for our bloopers?
Yeah.
Do I leave it in the episode? We'll find out.
Only time will tell. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and motorcycle riding and Bollywood women.
All of those things and more as we discuss Doc Doc.
Yes.
This was exactly what I was hoping it would be. Mm-hmm. It checked all the boxes I wanted it to check.
Me too.
I just felt like fulfilled after watching it.
I agree. We at the end of Fighter both were just like, I can't look at another man right now.
Yeah, like, please, can we just have, like, just less testosterone and just, like, more...
Less
just
fighting.
Yeah.
I wanted some female bonding.
Yeah, female bonding, just, like, womanhood and depth of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it.
We really did. And I really loved it.
Yeah.
I will also say that, like, we were both at a wedding of two very dear friends last weekend, mm-hmm. and I was a little emotional during it, and I have continued to be just a little bit, like, emotional this yeah. whole week, because it was beautiful and so full of love and joy, mm-hmm. and, yeah, and just watching this movie, I was, like, tearing up the entire time, just yeah. because I was just like, I love female relationships.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm glad that you went on that journey.
Yeah, it was what I needed.
Yeah, I definitely will talk about the moment that choked me up in particular, but it was so sweet and lovely and, like, meaningful and mm-hmm. beautiful to look at. Gorgeous cinematography.
Yeah.
It was the same production company who did Queen, so the minute I saw that, I was like, we are in good hands.
I'm here. Yes.
And I also love the soundtrack. I meant to look up more about it, like who
I did
wrote
too.
It, composed it, and all that stuff, because there was just a lot of good bops on this one.
I agree. I really loved the song that is playing when we're first introduced to Mahi.
Me too.
Who, by the way, is my favorite.
Is my favorite too. How could she not be?
Of course she is. She's just, like, so amazing in all these different ways that
yeah.
I'm sure we will talk about. But yeah, the music was great. I just really liked it and found it very soothing and mm-hmm. easy to watch and just yeah. nice. Like, yeah. it kind of gave me Zindagi vibes.
Yes, yes. I agree with that. Yes.
A reminder to the audience that we say Zindagi when we're referring to Zindagi Na Malegi Dobara.
Correct. Yes.
Yes. See, it's just too many words.
It's yeah. We like our shorthands, but I completely agree with that. Just the idea of that journey, and everyone had their own story. Everybody had their own growth that they experienced. You know, I guess you could say that Sky is kind of the main character because we sort of start and end with her. But mm-hmm. like, I felt like they were all equally important players in this story.
I agree.
And I loved that. We should talk about our cast. So Doc Doc was written and directed by Tarun Dudeja. It stars Ratna Pathak Shah as Mahi, Fatima Sana Sheikh as Sky, Dia Mirza as Uzma, and Sanjana Sanghi as Manjari.
Mm-hmm.
And all yeah. of them were amazing and beautiful and strong, and I loved every minute of it.
I agree. I think they all played their parts really, really well.
Yes.
And I just liked this examination of, like, what identities do women hold
mm-hmm.
other than wife, mother, daughter, yeah. grandmother. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do those identities interact with each other?
Right.
And also the idea that it's okay to hold all of those identities.
Yeah.
And also be other things in addition to those things.
Yeah, you know? You don't have to give up every other part of yourself in right. service of one facet of your identity.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you get to be complex and multifaceted. And
oh, I have goosebumps. Like, I really liked it. I just...
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
It's good
there
stuff.
Were some reviews and things that we could talk about at the end. We'll talk about it at the end because okay. they're going to bring me down.
I know. I didn't look at any reviews or anything because I was like, you know what? I loved it and I don't really care what anybody else thought. I'm glad. Yes. I care what you think about it and what I think about it. And that's all I care about.
I agree with that.
I'll be interested to hear about reviews, so that's fine. Before we dive into the plot, though, Katie, I forgot to wish you happy birthday last week. So I just wanted to wish you happy birthday and welcome to the last year of your 20s.
I hadn't thought about it. But thank you. Yeah.
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 Now I'm that I've introduced it. Yeah, it's a good time. I've enjoyed it. It's been fun so far. So. Uh-huh.
Oh, great. Also, you did see me on my birthday.
It's true. I did. Yes. But I wanted to make sure that we acknowledged the passing of time live on the air.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. But so, yeah, let's get into the happenings here. The movie opens with a bit of chaos. We see four women pulling off the road on their motorcycles, and one of them is berating another for not using the bathroom at their last stop, which just yeah. feels very, I don't know, just like women needing to go to the bathroom. It just feels very...
relatable.
Relatable, yes.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like, no, I don't have to go right now. And then 20 minutes later, it's like,
now I do, and it's pressing. Yeah.
Speaking for myself, not yes. generalizing other women.
Right, yeah. Just, again, one facet of womanhood, one of many.
Yeah.
Three of the four women head into a grassy field to relieve themselves while the fourth stays behind with their bikes. And then two men ride past this one woman as she's waiting there. And she looks a little bit nervous as these two men ride by and then, like, very strategically, like, stop and are looking at her. And so she's mm-hmm. reaching for something in her bag. Meanwhile, the three women who are peeing in the grass see some kind of, like, weasel-looking creature. Like,
just, yeah, what was like, that?
Small, fuzzy mammal. I thought it maybe was a mongoose, but I didn't care enough to look it up.
Well, at first I was like, is this like Jurassic Park? Is it going to spit venom at you? Like,
oh,
the
boy.
Way they're acting like it's a poisonous snake, the way that they're telling her to react.
Yeah. It's like, don't move.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. Was it going to claw your face off?
I know. It was a scary moment. But they do survive, and they come running out of the grassy field. The fourth woman who is waiting by the bikes uses this opportunity to, like, shout the names of some random men who are not present to scare off these two boys who then flee as she chases them away. It's just a whole... It's just
yeah,
a whole experience.
A yes.
The four women get back on the road, only for one of them, the one who was scared by the weasel-looking creature, to be separated from the others. And then we see her get into an accident. And that's it. That's our opening. Then we mm-hmm. cut back in time to a few weeks earlier in Delhi. The woman who was the woman waiting by the bikes, this is Skye, and we're introduced to her in this moment as she flies through the air on rollerblades with a camera.
Yeah, she's cool.
She is cool. She's wearing a cool outfit. She's got, like, a high slicked back ponytail.
Yeah, she looks great.
She does.
She has some, like, big Vani Kapoor energy
sure,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I just kept
confidence
getting...
And, yeah.
Yeah, just, like, sexy confidence. That I love. Yeah. And I'm like, Pinky didn't necessarily have this. Pinky
no.
and Ludo did not necessarily have that same vibe.
No, very different vibe from Pinky.
Yeah.
But so Skye is filming a bunch of guys doing tricks on their motorcycles. And at one point, she winks at one of the motorcycle riders just before he attempts to do, like, a handstand. Maybe it's not a handstand balance. He's just standing up balancing on the motorcycle. But then he falls, and Skye looks pretty pleased with herself. She kind of, like, initiated this crashing and filmed uh-huh. it. He's fine. Everybody's fine.
He is fine. I guess, but it was a comp. Who knows? He seems very dejected.
He does, yeah. But then the cops show up and the crowd disperses, and Sky goes to the rescue of a young man who is struggling to get his motorcycle to start. And the young man, once the cops leave them alone, he says, oh gosh, this is my grandmother's bike and she would have killed me if anything had happened to it. And Sky is like, well, grandmas don't ride bikes, motorcycles specifically. Yeah, yeah. And this young man is like, oh, but mine does. That'll come back again in a more meaningful way later. Mm-hmm. Back at her home, Sky's ex, Shrey, comes by and he tells her that she needs to remove him as a partner from her business. And Sky is like, yep, great, I'll do that. You could have just messaged me. You didn't need to come by in person. So yeah. Clearly there's some tension here. Shrey leaves looking dejected.
Mm-hmm.
We then see Sky watching YouTube videos that she and Shrey had made together while they were in a relationship with one another, and this was their business. They were YouTube content creators together. She watches through these videos, and the last one that she watches is her announcing to her viewers that she and Shrey are parting ways due to quote-unquote personal and professional differences. So Sky then goes to talk to, I just called him a corporate guy because there's a lot of talk of corporations.
Yeah, he's the guy who's got money.
He's a guy who's got money and I guess influence over like what gets published in a magazine. So maybe he's like a magazine editor. I don't know who this guy is.
But he's like in a garage?
Yeah, he's the boss guy. And Sky shows this guy the video that she took the night before of the trick bikers. And he's like, eh, I've already seen this from another content creator. And he tells Sky that if she wants the Barcelona Expo, which is like her superficial goal throughout the movie, that she's going to have to get him something with a story, make a video that has a story attached to it. So Sky heads home, and we then see her reflecting more on her earlier conversation with Shrey, and we see that, well, basically, we come to understand that she was the one who ended their relationship because somehow some nude pictures that she had taken of herself and sent to him were leaked and ended up going viral. And
yeah.
I, at this point, had assumed that it was Shrey who, like, released these nudes.
I did as well.
Yeah, and we later find out that that's not the case.
Right.
Which is why Shrey is trying to reinstate a relationship with her.
Right. He is not a scumbag.
He is not a scumbag, as far as we see. He actually seems like a pretty okay guy.
Yeah.
But so, you know, she's thinking about this conversation, and as that's happening, the young man who she had met the night before sends her a picture of his grandmother riding her bike, riding her motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And we then go a little further back in time, and we meet Mahi.
Yes.
Just lovely.
I love her so much. And her spirit and everything she stands for.
Me too. And she had entered a contest through a newspaper, seemingly not realizing or not knowing that the prize for this contest was a motorcycle. So she wins a motorcycle. And she doesn't know what to do with it. She tries to, like, get the newspaper to take it back and give her, like, the next prize instead of the motorcycle. But she's stuck with this bike. And so her family tells her to sell it. But then she goes out, she's running an errand, and as she's trying to get home, her family isn't able to come and pick her up, and there's this whole thing where, like, some of her stuff falls off of the rickshaw that she's taking home, and she has this whole ordeal, and she gets home, she sees the motorcycle, and she's like, you know what? You and me.
Yes. Yeah.
We see her cleaning the motorcycle lovingly, and then we see her acquire a little string of Tibetan prayer flags that she ties between the handlebars.
Mm-hmm. I love that she sees that on a different motorcycle and she's like, yes.
That's cool. I want that for my motorcycle. Yeah, it's great. Back in the present, Sky has contacted Mahi and they're making a video for her YouTube channel together. And this is, you know, again, in the hopes of getting this Barcelona Expo. And there's a sweet moment that I wanted to call attention to that's not really plot important, but Sky refers to Mahi casually, and then she's like, oh, I'm sorry, you just look so young. And then she, you know, refers to her more formally, and Mahi's like, no, you can call me Mahi.
Yeah.
And I just like that because there was this light in Mahi's eyes when Sky called her Mahi, that it was like, this woman hasn't been referred to that way in a long time, and that meant something to her, and I just loved that.
Or, like, yeah, I also get the sense that she's not even really seen as being, like, her own unique individual person.
Right, yeah.
By, like, her children, because just like, oh, no, you just have to cook this thing and bring it to this party and then, like, sit in the corner.
Yep, yeah, she's only mom and grandma. She's not, like, herself any longer. Because her husband Right, yeah, her husband has passed away. So the person who would ordinarily be kind of fulfilling that role for her has passed away. So Mahi then shows Skye a magazine article about the Kardung Law Pass, which at the time that the movie was made was the highest motorable pass in the world. I got very confused trying to Google what this pass was called and discovered that I think like very recently another pass came into existence that is higher in elevation.
Wow. Yeah. Also in India or?
Yeah, it like... in the same town, which was also really confusing to me. And I was like, are these the same pass? But no, there's like one that's like 2,000 feet higher in elevation that now exists. This is still an impressive story. That just means we need a sequel, I guess.
Yeah.
But so yeah, Mahi wants to take this trip. She calls it a pilgrimage. But Skye turns this offer down. But then she's back at her home and she's looking through comments on some of her more recent videos, and she sees that someone in the comments has like linked to the nude photos that were leaked, and there's just a series of misogynistic comments from mostly men but also women. So she's just obviously feeling really downtrodden by the world, and this gives her this newfound determination. And so she goes to the boss guy and she pitches him the idea of doing the trip with Mahi to the Kardung Law Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her that if they can do the trip in 7 days, then she will get the Barcelona Expo.
Great.
Yeah.
That's some pressure, though.
It is. That's a lot. Yeah. We then cut to another woman, Uzma, who is celebrating a friend's birthday with her family. And her husband, who is a complete jerk and also a rapist, he makes her, like, forces her to go and cook a special dish for this friend's birthday. And the friend is like, no, no, it's fine. I'm happy with what I've got here. But the husband keeps insisting. And so off Uzma goes to the kitchen. You know, she has to leave the gathering and go cook food.
Uzma is also, like, tied for my favorite.
I know. My heart was breaking so much through her whole story.
Yeah, and she's just, like, so sweet and giving
and so smart and so good at fixing motorcycles.
And, like, just so capable. And then it's like you needed that character to be in this situation because that does happen to women like that. It's not like women end up in these situations because they aren't smart or capable.
Exactly. Like, yeah, people just take advantage of them. Yeah.
Ugh. Uzma.
I know. Uzma's daughter, Zoya, comes into the kitchen with her and plays her an inspirational song on her phone, and she's translating the English lyrics into Hindi for Uzma. I just loved that scene. The relationship between Zoya and Uzma was beautiful, and I loved it so much.
Immediately, it's like, and that is also why you might stay.
Yep.
In that certain situation.
Right.
That relationship with your daughter is worse than the not so good relationship with your husband. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Certainly it's possible to have just the relationship with your daughter without the husband, but Uzma is very much trapped in her. In her marriage. So we get a little bit of a montage here where we see more of Uzma's life, and in particular that her husband, I never refer to him by name, I just call him her husband, is refusing to buy Zoya a laptop that she needs for school. And when Uzma suggests that she pay for it with the money that she has been saving up, her husband tells her to save it instead for Zoya's wedding, because that's all that matters to him.
Yeah. And then there's also just, this mother is trying to protect her daughter and give her opportunities that she herself did not have because she doesn't want her daughter to end up in a similar situation as her.
Right. And her husband just keeps cutting her off at every stop.
Yeah.
Uzma and her husband own a mechanic shop, and it is to this bike shop that Mahi and Skye bring their motorcycles for a tune-up before embarking on their journey. Uzma's husband makes some sexist comments that make Mahi and Skye decide to leave the shop, but Uzma stops them as they're leaving, and she secretly brings them into the shop to fix the bikes herself.
Yes.
Which she does in, like, 2 seconds, just like, boom, boom, done, ready to go. Sky and Mahi then invite Uzma to come with them to Kardung Law, and Uzma hesitates, but then Sky offers her 75,000 rupees.
Mm-hmm.
And Uzma goes home and excitedly tells Zoya that she is getting that new laptop.
Yes.
So the three women meet up at a biker cafe, and they are joined by Manjari, who is their very clumsy fourth companion.
Yeah.
And when she's introduced, there is a little bit of like, why are you here?
it was not clear to me. Honestly, even after it was explained, I was a little bit like, I'm still confused.
Like, how did this happen? Yeah. But she's very sweet, and she has a good story arc herself. So,
mm-hmm.
But so Sky starts laying out the plan for the trip, but Manjari, Mahi, and Uzma, they keep interrupting to talk about the places that they want to see, and the supplies that they've purchased, and how much they cost, and just
yeah.
And I say this with like so much love, just like very classic like woman kind of stuff, just like
yeah, they're so excited. Yeah, just
exactly, like just the exact tangents that your mind goes on of like, oh my gosh, you spent how much on it? Well, I spent it, you know, just yeah,
right.
I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
But finally, Mahi shows Sky matching sweaters that she has bought for everyone, that she's like, we're going to wear these when we get to the top and we're going to take a picture. This is too much for Sky. She's like, all right, yeah. We all need to take this more seriously. So the gang leaves Delhi for their adventure the next day, and they have barely made any progress when the events that we saw at the start of the movie transpire, and we see Manjari crash her bike after she's gotten separated from the group.
Mm-hmm.
She also loses her phone in the crash, so she can't contact the rest of the group. She's trying to get directions, but everybody's just getting too distracted. She can't get directions from anyone. So
yeah.
She gets back on the road, and she's following a truck. And I'm not entirely sure what her motives are for following the truck. I don't know if she's, like, too nervous to pass them. The truck driver's, like, waving her on, but she doesn't pass them. And the truck driver becomes convinced that she's trying to rob them. She's trying to, like, literally commit, like, highway robbery here. And so he pulls over, and so does she.
Yeah.
And so he gets out of the truck with a crowbar.
Right.
And we leave that situation.
Oh my gosh.
We cut back in time once more to 1 week earlier. And we see Manjari. We get kind of a little montage of her life, her story. She lives with her single mother, who is very protective of her. And she has arranged a marriage for Manjari. And when Manjari asks to meet with her future betrothed alone so she can get to know him better, her mom just says, no, no, you don't need to do that. Don't worry, I know what's best for you, and I approve of him. So that's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after that, Manjari gets a call from her friend Martha, who invites her to come and visit her, but she tells Manjari to come by motorcycle, because the two of them, I guess, used to ride motorcycles together and have a good time, but they don't now that Martha lives near where the Kardung Law is. And yeah, so Martha's like, you're going to come and visit me by motorcycle, and here's who you're going to come with. And she sends her the information about Mahi, the video that Sky had made about Mahi and the trip that they're taking.
Still confused as to, like, how Martha knew who they were. It's fine.
Right. I wish that they had said, like, Martha and Sky knew each other. Like, right. Just, like, a quick line about that would have kind of tied those bows a little bit more tidily.
Because this trip isn't, like, open to anyone who wants to join.
Exactly. Yeah. She would have needed to have an in like that for that to work out.
Yeah. But whatever.
The other thing that I wasn't totally clear on then is, like, Martha, you know, obviously she knows Manjari's family and had something to do with their jewelry business, like, helped them in some way.
Yeah,
and she,
like,
sort of
find a client or something.
Yeah, and she sort of says, like, why don't you come and visit me to Manjari's mom, and her uncle is like, why don't you come and visit me and more business opportunities will present themselves.
Right.
Which I didn't think was important when it happened in the movie, but then it turns out to be important later on.
Whoops.
So now we've got everybody's story, we've got a good sense of everybody's motives for going on this journey. We're back in the present, and when Mahi, Sky, and Uzma can't find Manjari, she's disappeared, they're not sure where she went, they check into a hotel for the night. The Hotel Lovely, which looks super not sketchy. Manjari, meanwhile, was not beaten to death by the truck driver. he actually turns out to be the nicest man who has ever lived.
Yes. I love that.
Yes.
Like, I love that they take the fears of a woman traveling alone and are just like, nope, let's just get rid of all those. Yeah. He's a really nice guy who just wants to help.
Yeah, who's just going to give you his spare cell phone so that you can find your way back to your group. Yeah.
Well, I also like that she's just like, all the details were on the internet. And he's like, okay, here. Just
let's get you some internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked that in this movie, there were very real examples of men who were toxic men. And then there were very real examples of men who were just nice humans. And,
right.
And I think that it often ends up being one or the other, where you're like, there's too much of men are terrible people and can't be trusted, which then just, you know, as we've said before, like, as a woman watching it just, like, reaffirms negative feelings that I have about my safety in the world. But this was a really good balance of, like, yeah, no, that's real. That happens to people. But also, there are just, like, good-hearted humans in the world. And
yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Agreed.
But yes, so this truck driver, he gives her his phone and, you know, helps her out, helps her get reconnected with her group. And she thanks him for this assistance. And he says just a really wonderful, insightful thing that I absolutely loved, which was that stressing about your own problems, but then being able to help other people with their problems is human nature. And we should all try to be our own neighbor sometimes. And I just loved that.
Me too.
I could very strongly relate to being the kind of person who helps other people with their problems, but just gets hit in the face with my own problems.
Right.
And I often have to remind myself, like, if a friend were going through this, how would I help them? And I will help myself in the same way. So it resonated with me.
Yes. Good to get that little bit of distance.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, back at the Hotel Lovely, Skye is searching the room for hidden cameras because she was in Ludo, so she knows that that's how people's sex tapes can get leaked.
I had that thought, too. I was like, she knows.
Yep, yeah, she's seen it happen.
You can't take that for granted.
You really can't. But so as she's doing this, Manjari calls, and she says that she's safe, she's fine, she'll meet up with them in an hour. And so Mahi suggests that they use that time to go out and have a drink. So they go and they buy some rum and some beer, and there's just a guy casually vomiting in the background. And as they're settling into drink, we see Uzma get a text message from Zoya that says happy birthday, like right after it hits midnight. Mahi, meanwhile, she downs her glass of rum in one, and she tells them that rum isn't alcohol, it's an emotion.
That is a really fun quip to say.
Yeah.
And also
it's not the healthiest outlook.
correct.
Yeah. She then explains that her late husband used to buy rum for them, and they would sit together and they would drink it on the weekends, and he told her that being with her made him even more intoxicated than if he were just drinking alone. It's very sweet. And then Mahi says that a man who drinks rum is a keeper.
Yes.
Again, fun line, but everything in moderation. Manjari arrives and joins them just as clumsily as her initial entrance into the film, and she tells them her story, and the waiter then brings over the food that they had ordered, and Mahi pulls out a candle and lights it, and they celebrate Uzma's birthday, because even though Uzma didn't think they would know, they are all aware, and they sing happy birthday, and the whole, like, restaurant outdoor seating area joins in drunkenly.
I love that, because it's, like, only drunk men
around
them, and then they're also just like, yeah, we'll celebrate with this person.
They're all just like, happy birthday's being sung, I'll join in. I do just, there's something very sweet about that, like, human inclination.
I agree.
The next day they get back on their journey, and Mahi gets a flat tire. The others have gone on ahead, and so she flags down a passing biker who turns out to be a fairly handsome English gentleman.
I really like that she, like, waves him down, and then as soon as he gets close enough that she starts to, like, suspect that he's handsome, she's just like, no, not you.
Be on your way, sir. Yeah. See,
that's relatable to me. Like, so relatable.
Yes, that is very funny. Yeah,
I don't know how to handle this. So.
Yeah, I'd rather just someone who I feel like I can talk to.
I'll remain stranded. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so she does wave him on, but then later he comes back with a mechanic, which is very sweet. Up ahead, the rest of the crew are stopped by a fallen tree. And while they're waiting for the tree to be cleared, Uzma is talking to Zoya, her daughter, when her husband takes the phone and he insists on talking to the friend that Uzma had lied and said that she was traveling with. Yeah. And so she doesn't know what to do, so she hands the phone to Manjari. And Uzma's husband greets her with Assalamu alaikum, because they're Muslim. And Manjari, who is Hindu, just goes on autopilot and just like, Radhe, Radhe. And and Uzma's husband is just like, what? What? Why did you just say that to me?
And he just... Oh, I love it.
And Manjari just like, she looks very flustered. She gives the phone back to Uzma. And Uzma explains that the friend who Manjari was pretending to be is a Salman Khan fan. Yeah. And I was just laughing so much that I didn't really catch what the then explanation was. But this does it for her husband and everything's fine.
Yeah, I think she said something about like, because she lied about this friend having recently given birth to a baby boy. And yes. That's why he's like, oh, yes, you go to the same place and maybe you'll give me a son. And I think she maybe referred to like her friend being like baby brain addled something. I think it was something like that. Like
I'm sure any person who was given birth can relate to like just having forgotten your religion for a moment, especially when like Salman Khan is on the TV. I guess that's
oh yeah, I'm wondering what that like reference is. Yeah.
That's all very
we may
funny.
Never know. And we I'm may never okay know. With that.
Yeah, same. Mahi's bike does get brought to a shop where it can be repaired. The rest of the gang meets up with her there, and they are all enjoying, well, the others who aren't Mahi are enjoying talking to this handsome English savior, Burnett, mm-hmm. who I kept wanting to call Barnett.
I also wanted to call him Barnett because love is blind.
Exactly. But it is Burnett, and he is also on his way to Cardung Law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't love Burnett's vibe. I didn't love some of the just ways that he was talking to these ladies and the fact that he just, like, ate some of Mahi's food without her permission.
There was a lot of, like, he's very confident in who he is.
Yes. We are supposed to kind of read this as charming, and the other women are charmed by him. Mahi is a little overwhelmed by his attention. And I do think, rightfully, the men who are, like, selling the food at the stall are like, you all only find this charming because he's, like, a white Englishman. Like, if it were us doing this, you would think that it was disgusting. And yeah, the bias is real. I just, you know,
Yeah.
But so as Burnett leaves, Sky asks him if he likes rum. And he says that he does. And so Sky shouts across to Mahi that he's a keeper.
I did think that was funny.
I liked that too, because there's the language dynamic too, because Burnett speaks very little Hindi and Mahi speaks very little English, so yeah. Later that same day, Sky gets into a minor accident, and this is a whole thing. I'm just going to give the quickest summary of it, because the cops... the cops get involved and they seem to like blame it on everyone, and they punish them by making them do squats by the side of the road, I guess.
Yeah, which again, is this something that cops do frequently? Like, people do stuff?
I feel like I have seen this before in movies, so I'm like, does this happen in real life? I'm fascinated. But they also, they find some drugs in Sky's things. They're, like, going through their possessions. They find the drugs. And they tell her that they'll let it slide. They'll even hand her back the drugs if she pays them one lakh. And they kind of, the women sort of, like, squabble over who will pay what and who is responsible for all of this. But then the cops are like, just give us what you have. And they go on their way. But it's too late at this point for them to travel on to what was supposed to be their next stop. So they find another hotel to stay at. And this hotel is full of hippies.
Yeah. One more thing. I just was remembering that because, like, it looked like the head cop of that group was a woman. So I kind of thought, I was like, oh, we're going to see another, like, sisterhood moment. And then I was like, nope.
That's really interesting, because, like, this again is just totally, it's a bias that I have from living in the U.S. So I don't know what it's like in other places, but, like, I've always thought, like, if I got pulled over by a woman cop, that she would, like, definitely give me a ticket. Like, she would be, like, so much more strict with me. Like, I feel like that's the assumption that I have about women cops. So when I saw that it was a woman, I was like, ooh, boy, they're gonna get in trouble.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever thought about it. I think I would be more likely to get a ticket as well. But there's also then the privilege that, like, you and I have as, like, younger-looking, like, white women.
White women. Absolutely.
A lot of men who have pulled me over in the past are just like, you shouldn't go that fast.
Right.
they don't have accents.
But they kind of give off the vibe like they might. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shucks, I'm sorry. Well, and they're like, it's okay.
I've never gotten a ticket before. I've never been pulled over before. And I don't feel this way now, but when I was younger, I used to just know for sure that I would cry when it happened. Because I am the kind of person who cries when I think I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Which is not, like, a trait I'm happy with. It's like white woman tears. They're toxic and it's bad. I had always thought that I would be more comfortable if it were a man, because if I cried in front of a woman cop, she would just be like, suck it up.
Stop crying.
Like, stop crying. I'm giving you a ticket.
That's fair. Whereas with men, you're like kind of feeding into their view of us anyway. So it's like, whatever. Yeah. I don't care.
Anyway, that was such an unimportant tangent. I apologize. So they're at this hotel. There's all these hippies. And the hotel manager, Moishi, gives them some snacks that later becomes clear are laced with drugs.
Yeah, you should really disclose that before you feed those to people.
Yeah, this man is, like, clearly trying to drug his patrons. But, you know, the women, they dance, they laugh, they have a great time. And the next morning, they are all recovering from, again, being high unconsentingly the night before. And Moishi shows up at their door and hands over Sky's phone, because apparently she had, you know, left it outside the night before in all the high shenanigans.
Yeah.
So they get back on the road, but then that night, Mahi's family sends her a video that is captioned "Four Indian Women Talking About Orgasms and Condoms."
Mm-hmm.
And this video shows Mahi, Uzma, Manjari, and Sky the night before talking and laughing, and this video has gone viral. And Mahi accuses Sky of uploading the video for views and likes, and that this, you know, has caused her shame and caused the rest of them to feel shame. And she says that Sky has betrayed them, and she refuses to continue on with the journey.
Yeah. This felt a little bit forced to me, this plot point.
Yeah, I agree. I think especially because this is where intermission happens.
Yeah, I was like, sorry, this is the driving, like, climax of this film?
Right. And it wasn't.
And it wasn't. So then it's like, okay, then why is it even here?
Yeah, I think if they just hadn't had the intermission and this had just been, like, a thing that happens that then... because this sort of ends up being the catalyst for Manjari reveals she is aware of what happened to Sky with the nude photos being leaked.
Right.
And so I think if it had just been, like, a smooth occurrence and there hadn't been that, like, amp up and then intermission and then, I think it would have just been like, this is just a thing that happens in this movie.
And I think it's also just hard, though, after we've spent, because, like, this happens on, like, day 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But, like, we've already seen a few days of them, like, bonding.
Right.
In really beautiful ways. And I just then don't think that Mahi would immediately be like, you did. You know, I feel like they'd all be like, oh, my God, how did this happen? Let's work together to do it. Like, it just felt like the people writing the story were like, and then we need to have this, like, tense conversation.
Right.
But I was like, I don't actually think you do. Like, that's just not what this type of movie is.
I think that's valid. Yeah, you're right. The same thing could have happened, and the stuff about the nude photos could have come out without there being this, like, big blow up. Yeah, I agree with that. As it was happening, I was like, I really don't want this to be as big a deal.
Yeah, and then it was intermission. I was like, okay, I guess this is the thing.
This is the thing. So what we come to find out, you know, everyone is forgiven, because we come to realize that it was Moishi, the hotel manager, who took the phone and went live and recorded their conversation. But then we get to see what that conversation entailed, which was, again, just a really great moment of women connecting about their lives and their experiences that I just absolutely loved.
I agree. Like, that right there is everything I love about my, like, friendships I have with women in my life. Like, it's just so amazing. Yeah.
Just being that comfortable with each other to be able to reveal the things. Because they do, in fact, talk about faking orgasms and their favorite flavors of condoms. So the caption of the video was accurate.
I also just love that Uzma's like, chocolate. And everyone's like, I knew it.
I do, Maybe we won't go into my all of my thoughts about the uselessness of flavored condoms, but...
Well, sure, yeah.
At the end of this conversation, Mahi thanks Sky, telling Sky that she is the only one who believed in her and that she will be a fan of Sky's for life.
Aww.
Yeah. And then the whole conflict happened. So
yeah.
It's like, you could, yeah. So after all of this has transpired, the women are, they're on their way further and they encounter a bunch of cars stopped on the road because there's a ton of fog and these cars can't safely continue on the road through the fog.
Yes.
So Uzma, again, in her just like MacGyver super resourceful mind, she rigs a whole system with the extra fog lights that they have for the bikes. And so that the bikes can guide the cars safely through this mountain pass. And it works, and everybody makes it out the other side. They make it to the clear air, and there's a young girl who is a part of this group of cars that they helped. And she and Uzma have a really sweet moment where Uzma lets her sit on her motorcycle, and she's kind of talking to her about, like, the different parts of the bike. And the little girl is just, like, totally awed by Uzma and says how lucky Uzma's daughter is that she gets to sit on her bike all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this hits Uzma really hard because that's not something that she and Zoya have been able to share.
Yeah.
Later, Uzma tells Sky that her grandfather and her father owned the bike shop that we saw earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm. And she shares how when she fixed her first bike, her father gave her his watch as a reward, and that's the watch that she wears. But then when she got married, her father passed the shop on to her husband and not to her. And Uzma says that her legacy became someone else's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super, super sad. Sky then offers Uzma more money, but Uzma refuses, saying that she's no longer in this for the money. She's in it for herself, and she's in it for Zoya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go, Uzma.
Go, Uzma. Not that there's anything wrong with being in things for the money, but also, like, that she found, like, a deeper purpose and the money.
Yes.
So meanwhile, Mahi and Manjari have a heart-to-heart about single moms because Mahi's husband died while they were still raising their kids together, and Mahi expresses some bitterness over the fact that her family really only sees her as a mom and a grandmother, like you were saying before. That night, the women, they've had these lovely emotional bonding moments together. They sleep out under the stars and they gaze up at the Milky Way, which really made me want to go camping.
Right? It really, I've been wanting to just stargaze for a while now. And then seeing that happen, it just brings me right back to like summer camp, you know? Yeah. Like just, or being out in the yard with like friends and your heads are just close together. And
It's beautiful. Yeah. I know. I really, someday I want to go somewhere in stargaze where like I can actually see the Milky Way and like see big things. Cause you know, I'm from a rural area and I've seen the stars, but not like the stars, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the desert.
Yes. Yeah. Or the tundra.
Or the tundra. One of those sounds a lot colder than the other one.
Well, one of them sounds a lot hotter than the other one, so, you know.
Yes.
Just depends on our mood and the time of year we go. Anyway, so we're now on our fifth day of the journey, and Sky shows Mahi the voiceover that she has been writing for the video that, she'll be producing. And in the voiceover, she's asking the classic question of, is the journey or the destination more important? And Mahi is like, well, duh, the journey is what's most important. Like, we could have just flown to get up to Kardung La, but, like, we're doing this whole thing together. And then she tells Sky that Sky reminds her of her younger self, except that Sky is braver than she ever was.
Aww.
And Sky then asks, well, what if we don't make it to Kardung La? And Mahi's like, don't be negative. We're going to make it. It's going to happen. And Sky is like, oh, so the destination is important then. And Mahi, trapped, accuses her of being too smart.
Mm-hmm.
We then get a travel montage as they continue on their way that features a moment where I'm pretty sure they're like duplicating a petrol ad that has Tiger Shroff in it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, I missed that Tiger was in that.
Yeah, like they're I'm pretty sure it was Tiger Shroff. It was either him or a man who looks absurdly similar to him.
God, I should have, like, I kind of just thought, you know, my brain just skipped over that part of it and was like, oh, those are just like men in an ad. Darn.
Yep, he was there. Manjari and Uzma then have a heart-to-heart where Manjari is expressing her concerns about marrying a man that she doesn't really know anything about, other than the fact that he's handsome. And Uzma then reveals that her marriage was a love marriage and that she and her husband both changed after they were married. And she says that you can know a person for years without really knowing who they are or who they have the potential to become.
Yeah.
And Manjari then, after this conversation, feels empowered to go and get a tattoo.
Yes.
So good for her.
I love that for her because she'd been like eyeing it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the hair.
She gets a streak in her hair. Yeah. Yep. It's a big step for her. She's coming out of her shell.
She's choosing who she wants to be, not who she, like, thinks her mom wants her to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. So now we're on day 6, and as they're crossing a river, the waters start to rise, and Sky is forced to leave her bike behind in the middle of this river as they're fleeing the rising waters. And this means that all of the belongings she brought with her, including her camera and all of the footage that she has taken so far of the trip, gets destroyed.
Yeah.
Which is obviously super upsetting. And in the aftermath of this, Sky just breaks down and she says, you know, no matter how hard she tries, life just keeps bringing her back down. Just, you know, she's feeling very defeated in this moment. And she brings up again just the incident of Shrey's phone being hacked and the nude photos being leaked. So this is the first moment that it becomes clear that this was not Shrey. This was just like a random horrible thing that happened. But the gang tries to lift her spirits, but she says that this whole trip was never about any of them. It was for her. It was for her channel, for her happiness. And now it's over. And so she leaves and she starts hitchhiking to get back to Delhi.
Yep.
Mahi, Manjari, and Uzma continue on, and the road is starting to get noticeably more challenging. On her way home, Sky finds her way to a place that I'm not totally sure what to call it. Like, I was tempted to call it a monastery, but they're women, so I don't know if you would call them monks. And Sky calls these women nuns.
But right, or at least that's the translation for us.
I think she's actually saying the word nuns. But
okay.
So there's just, whatever's happened, there's people engaging in religious practice and doing martial arts, and they appear to identify as women. And there's a woman who is leading this martial arts practice, and Sky goes up to this woman and asks if she can film this, and the woman says no, and brings her over to a sign that Sky at first thinks is some kind of, you know, ancient philosophy, but it does in fact just say no filming, no cameras allowed.
Yeah.
But she does end up talking to this woman for a while, and she tells her that she thought that this journey would change her life. And the woman says that endings are also beginnings, and one incident doesn't change your life. Change requires time.
Mm-hmm. Wise words.
Very wise, yes. Meanwhile, Mahi, as they're going along their way, she gets altitude sickness, and the other women have to bring her to the hospital. They also encounter Burnett, and he is there to assist them as they bring her to the hospital. And he ends up staying with Mahi while Manjari and Uzma go out into the community to try to find oxygen cylinders for her.
Yeah, I was a little bit concerned by the fact that, you know, she has altitude sickness, which is pretty common. But then they go to the hospital and it's like, well, it's peak season, so we only have one tank left. So you just have to go out and source your own.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit like, what?
It made me think of in Pathaan, and then there's apparently something like this happened in reality where like, or not Pathaan, right. Javan.
Right.
Getting my 2023 Shahrukh action blockbusters confused.
In my head, I had an Aspatan as well. And then I was like, oh, no, you're right. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess hospitals may not have equipment. So you just have to like go and buy the equipment that the hospital can then like use.
That's right.
Fascinating. So Manjari, she goes to her friend Martha because Martha lives in this area. And Martha does have a cylinder to give her, but just as she's, you know, Manjari's about to head back to Mahi, Manjari's mom and uncle arrive, presumably for whatever this kind of business conversation was going to be.
Yeah.
And they see Manjari, they see what's been going on, and they tell her that she has shamed them, and they insist that she come home with them. Uzma is also able to find a cylinder that she buys, and she's on her way back to the hospital, but the cops find her bike, and it has apparently been reported stolen by her husband, and so they arrest her.
That is such a jerk move.
Right. Because in my mind, I was like, maybe he just was like, oh, the bike's gone, someone stole it. But like, no, he knows it's his wife and he wants her to be arrested because he wants to control her.
Yeah.
Poor Mahi then wakes up in the hospital and only Burnett is there.
Yeah.
And just imagine, you know, like you're going through this really traumatic thing and like your friends are gone and just this handsome guy who you do have a crush on but you feel awkward around, he's the only one who's there.
Yeah, that's my worst nightmare.
Yeah. But so they make their best attempt at having a conversation because they don't speak a lot of the same languages. Ultimately, Mahi expresses her fears that everyone will laugh at her and call her a failure because she got altitude sickness. But Burnett reassures her that he was way worse off than she was his first time coming up into the mountains. And he also tells her that she is enough.
Aww.
Which is always just the best thing to hear someone say. Burnett leaves the room. I think he's going to get her some water or something. And Mahi has a vision of her late husband. And he's asking her why she cares what people think about her. She shouldn't care about that. He sees her as a hero. Aww. And this is a very sweet moment. And this was where I cried a little bit. But it does cause Mahi to like start hyperventilating again. And her oxygen levels start to dip back down again.
Yeah.
So we then see Sky arrive back home in Delhi, but she gets a call from Burnett, and he's like, where are you? Mahi needs the oxygen. Get a cylinder and get it here as soon as you can. He presumably isn't aware that she has just fully up and left the journey.
Yeah. That phone call kind of felt a little bit like she wasn't there. You've been with them since they arrived at the hospital, and Sky wasn't there.
Right.
And now you're just not giving her any added context. You're just like, where are you?
Come on. Burnett's maybe not the most observant of guys. It's like just desperate. So now it is the seventh day. It is the day that was supposed to be the day they arrived at Kardung La, but instead, Mahi's in the hospital. Manjari is about to be taken home. Uzma's in the police station. But we see Manjari convince her family to let her bring the cylinder to Mahi. And her mom agrees to let her go, but only if they, like, ride Manjari's motorcycle together to make sure she's not going to, like, run off again.
Yeah. I will be honest. I was a little bit like, Manjari, just get on your motorcycle and take the oxygen canister back. Like, what are we doing? Why did you spend the night there?
Right.
And, like, I understand the yoke that, like, you know, what do you call it? Like, responsibility to family can have.
Yes.
But also, someone is, like, dying.
Yeah. I think that's very reasonable. She could have had a little bit more spine in that moment.
It's like, well, my mom wouldn't let me leave the house. So she was not physically barring you. No. You were not locked in.
She's not like Uzma, like, in jail.
Right. Yeah. Uzma, that's legit.
That's legit, yeah. But so on their way to the hospital, there's a couple of, like, near misses of cars sort of veering into their lane of traffic, and Manjari kind of has to swerve to avoid danger, but they arrive safely, they're fine. And Manjari's mom is, like, yelling at her for being unsafe, but Manjari's like, no, we were safe. I would never let anything happen to you, just like you would never let anything happen to me.
Yeah.
And then she tells her mom that, you know, her mom kept her safe and protected her from all of the things she was afraid of, but now Manjari is still afraid of everything, and she just wants to be fearless, just like her mom. Mm-hmm. And that was such a beautiful way of having that interaction, where it wasn't like, you have done wrong by me as your child. It was like, you did your best with me, but here's the outcome, and I just want to be brave like you are. And
yeah,
it was a great moment.
It was also nice seeing the change in Manjari, that, like, she was just like, yep, swerve around this, like, very confidently, whereas in the beginning of the film, you would have seen her probably totter and fall over.
That is also very true. I hadn't noticed that, but yeah, she's grown as a woman and as a motorcyclist.
Yes.
The parallel journey. Meanwhile, at the police station, Uzma is finally able to talk to her husband on the phone, and she berates him for never asking or caring at all what she wants in life. She tells him that what she thought was respect for him is actually fear, but she's not afraid of him anymore.
Yeah.
It's a good empowering moment for her, and he agrees to withdraw his complaint, so the police let her go.
Mm-hmm.
So Uzma and Manjari both walk into Mahi's hospital room, each with their respective oxygen cylinders, and then Sky walks in as well with her oxygen cylinder. She's flown back in, she's got it, she's ready. But so Sky goes up to Mahi's bedside, and she reads her the end of the voiceover for her video. It turns out that it is neither the journey nor the destination, but the company you keep along the way that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks Mahi if that sounds about right to her. And then Sky pulls out of her bag the sweater that Mahi had bought for everybody. And she says, we gotta get out there and we gotta get our picture.
Yeah.
She also apologizes for leaving, and Manjari tells her that she needs to be her own neighbor. Again, just call back to like my favorite line in the movie.
Everyone's growing.
Everyone's growing and just together, and it's great. So Mahi's oxygen levels are already starting to increase, so she's getting better. We're happy to see that. So now it's 3 days later, and the crew sets out on their bikes for Kardung La in their matching sweaters. I also love that Burnett gives Sky his bike so she can go along with them.
Yeah.
That's great. As they ride in voiceovers, they're each reading lines of what, I don't know if this is a poem or if it was like the voiceover that Sky had written, but whatever it is, it's beautiful. And they're reflecting on choosing freedom, on choosing your dreams, on choosing the open road and not acquiescing to what other people want or expect of you. They make it to Kardung La to a sign saying, welcome to the top of the world. And they take their picture and they each leave something behind by the sign. Uzma leaves her father's watch. Manjari leaves a picture of her with her mom. Sky leaves the voiceover for the video. And Mahi leaves the Tibetan flags from her handlebars and her sunglasses.
Yeah.
And as they take their picture, everybody's crying, everybody's emotional, and it's just a very beautiful moment. And the screen fades to a quote. Sometimes, in the middle of nowhere, you find yourself.
Yes!
And over the credits, we see Uzma showing Zoya how to ride her motorcycle. We see Mahi working at the biker cafe in Delhi, and Burnett is also there, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going on there?
I know. We see Manjari meeting up with a man without a chaperone. And finally, we see Sky going into an appointment with a therapist. And mm-hmm. Shrey is there waiting for her in the waiting room beside a magazine that has her Barcelona Expo on the cover.
Yes.
The end.
Yay! It was so heartwarming.
So heartwarming. I loved this. You know, I did too. I agree. Yeah. Some of the drama was a little bit forced, but it was sweet. It was beautiful. It had a great message. It had great story arcs, great characters. Yep. Yeah. All about it. Great performances.
Yeah. There were just some reviews that were just like, this was like boring and uninspired and a very like predictable plot. And I was kind of like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't claiming to be anything that it's not.
Right. I always find the argument about predictable plots to be a particularly frustrating thing, because I understand the idea of like, well, this certainly seems like a movie that has a happy ending, and then it does have a happy ending, and being like, well, I predicted that would be the case. Like,
right.
Okay, but did you know Mahi was going to get altitude sickness? Did you know, like, exactly the way that Manjari's story was going to play out? Like, you right. know, it's like, did you just predict that the movie was going to end happily and with, like, empowerment? Did you actually predict right. every moment that happened along the way? Because I think if you didn't, you don't get to call the movie predictable.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the reason we were so excited, like, we even talked about this last week, where we were, like, we're excited to see, like, female friendships.
Yeah.
And also, like, the individual growth that's going to come about from
yes.
this. Because, yes, that's kind of what stories are.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's yeah. one thing if you're watching, like, an action flick and you're like, well, that twist was garbage. But, like, not all movies are that. So,
no.
yeah, I was a little bit like, all right, I'm rolling my eyes at that.
And I agree.
There was a part of me that was also like, is it because it's focused on, like, four women?
And I think also just, like, movies made for women tend to get that kind of criticism a lot. Like, romantic
yeah.
movies, too, that are sort of, at least in Hollywood, like, geared towards women. I do. That's one of the things I love the most about South Asian movies is that they always kind of get a love story in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, like, yeah, I think that is often a criticism of media that is made for and about women, and it does feel very misogynistic to me. And I also just, there is nothing wrong with enjoying a movie that was made to make you feel good and did.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, those are my thoughts. I don't have anything else to share. I loved it.
I loved it too. And I'm excited to hear about your research for this week.
Yes. So I was caught by the notion on the Netflix synopsis that it was a true story. Mm-hmm. Just to clarify some things, it is in itself not a true story.
Okay.
There was not like a group of four women who teamed up to make this like journey.
Got it.
So what they mean by that is that it is based on the real experiences of women who have defied societal expectations in order to pursue their passion.
Aw.
Which is nice.
That is sweet. It's like, it's not... I don't think you could like, say it's based on a true story, it's just, but it's based on true experiences. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's fine. And it does sound like they're already getting to work on a sequel.
Oh, okay.
Which will involve a trip to Barcelona.
Oh, excellent.
And so I think it is guaranteed to like have Sky again as a main character, but okay, they might also include the other three women.
I hope so.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
But so because the true story thing was a bust, I decided just to look up motorcycle riding for women in India.
Sure.
Because apparently this movie came about as a response or inspired by the increasing number of women turning to motorbike riding.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. The articles I read feature a few different specific women who I'll talk about their stories. And you can kind of see like the elements pulled from these women who have been like interviewed in papers and stuff. And it's like, okay, I can see how you created this story based on those experiences.
Yes. Okay.
Again,
cool.
Not a true story. In the normal sense of the word.
It's footing in truth, but then goes other places. Yeah.
Yes. But first, I read a 2016 article written by Joanna Lobo in the Hindustan Times called "Freewheeling: Why Indian Women Are Turning Bikers." Mm-hmm. But in the past decade or so, women in India are increasingly taking to motorcycles. And I wrote that in the last decade. So it really started, I think, like 2014-ish.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit earlier. One of the reasons for the increase in women taking to motorcycles is the anonymity of wearing a helmet, which we also see in the movie.
Yeah.
But one woman interviewed by Lobo said that on your bike, gender doesn't matter. All that matters is your confidence.
Oh, love that.
Right? And they tell stories of being like mistaken for men. And it's very much like, oh, I have more like power on this bike, like this motorbike.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's like both cool and sad.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's also why we love stories of women like dressing up as knights and going off to like war,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Like... Oh, one of my favorite tropes of all time. Yeah.
Me too. But anyway, there is also a growing number of women bikers groups, including Bikerni, which was started in 2011. And at the time of its founding, there wasn't any guidance or a platform for women who were interested in riding. So that's why the founders created it. Mm. Bikerni started with 15 women and now has 700 at the time of the writing in 2016.
Amazing.
By 2023, they had 2,500.
Amazing. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. It is cool. And other groups across India have also experienced growing numbers. Mm-hmm. And Mumbai even has a riding school called First Gear, which teaches women how to ride a motorcycle.
That's awesome.
So, like, it is becoming, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Which I love. Women cite many different reasons for why they are now pursuing motorbike riding, including for the thrill of standing out, proving a point, or because they're actually inspired or encouraged to try it by the men in their lives.
Huh.
Which
love
is
that.
Also nice.
Yeah. Men
love support.
Women. Yeah.
Yep. And the women-only riding groups were developed in part because even when families were supportive of women learning to ride, some of them did not want them doing so in a mostly male environment.
Mm.
The all-female riding clubs addressed that concern in addition to providing like a safe space for people to learn how to ride and have community.
Yeah.
One woman named Esha Gupta takes long solo trips on her motorcycle, which she named Mike. Some as long as 40 days. And
wow.
She does this not just because she wants to, but because she wants to spread the message that India is safe for women traveling alone.
Yeah.
In this article, Gupta tells a story of meeting some truck drivers at Adaba on the way to Jaipur and having a great conversation with them about women's safety and travel.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, that feels like the, yeah, what we see with Manjari. Yeah.
Right, right. I think, yeah, it's like, it's important to, you know, still remember that, like, concern for safety is important.
Yes, absolutely.
And also the world is perhaps not quite as dangerous as we sometimes believe it to be.
Right. Both of those things can be true at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. And then other women interviewed said that riding gives them community and family within the other women in their club, and it also helps them relieve stress. Mm-hmm. There was another woman, Vinu Paliwal, who said that she learned how to ride in college and always wanted a bike of her own, but her husband wouldn't let her ride. Mm. She then got divorced, and with her children away at college, she bought herself a Harley and now takes trips every weekend.
Love it.
She says that riding has helped her reclaim her life post-divorce.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, right? I'm just like, yeah, ladies, like, get it. And then I read a 2023 article in The Established, written by Ismat Tasin, called "A Growing Tribe of Women Bikers in India Are Shattering Stereotypes." Mm-hmm. And this article opens by telling the story of a software engineer, Samira Dahia, who had no background in biking. She then bought her first motorcycle in 2015, despite the seller saying he wasn't sure if he should sell it to a woman.
Ugh.
Right. And she continued to get that response as she upgraded to better bikes, but she now holds the title of the fastest woman to complete an all-India ride of 16,300 kilometers. The ride took her across 28 states, 6 union territories, and 100 cities, and she did it in 24 days and 9 hours.
Wow.
Right?
That's incredible.
Yeah, I guess this is less research and me just being like, let me tell you about some cool ladies.
Some really cool ladies. I love it.
And the women featured in this article all have a similar story of like smashing stereotypes or expectations. One woman, Shilpa Balakrishnan, originally bought a bike to commute to work. She was questioned about why she needed like a big motorcycle, and she was actually accused of showing off, which is also just classic. I'm like, okay. You're like attacking her from multiple sides here.
Right. It's like you have to, yeah. Men,
it's like too much
off,
for you, but also women... you're showing off.
Right, yeah.
And now she's the first woman to do a solo ride to the four corners of India.
Wow.
She showed them.
Yeah.
And another woman, Shabnam Akram, began riding after being sexually harassed at a bus stop. She didn't want to ride the bus anymore, but could not afford a car. So she began riding her husband's bike. She now heads a woman biker group in North India and says that she's the same person she always was, but now it feels like other people actually see her.
Oh.
And she wants other young women to discover that for themselves.
I love that so much.
Right. And then there's one more woman I wanted to highlight named Aisha Amin, who has become known as the burqa rider.
Mm.
So her goal is to prove that wearing a hijab does not prevent you from riding a bike. So she does all of her rides in an abaya and hijab.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right?
I just love I love the representation. I love just all of these women being like, I can do this. It's no big deal. And it's also like kind of a big deal for me.
Right? Yeah. But the article wraps up by saying it's not all for leisure. Women are getting into motorcycle racing and stunts. And there's also been an increase in women owning a motorcycle in their own name rather than the motorcycle being in her husband's or father's name.
Excellent. Love that.
And this is true all across India.
Yeah.
That this increase is happening.
That's so awesome. Good for all of those women just having a good time and feeling empowered on their motorcycles. Love that for them so much.
Right?
Yeah.
It just makes me so happy.
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes we have downer episodes and sometimes we have happy episodes and right. This is a happy one.
This is a happy one. Everybody enjoy. Have a good time. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. All of those stories just made me feel as warm as I felt watching the movie. And I yeah, love knowing that the events of the movie are inspired by real women's lives and choices. And yeah, that's wonderful.
Right. Yeah, there was a part of me reading those articles that I was like, do I want to get a motorcycle? And then I was like, no, actually, I have zero interest in that.
Right. Yeah, that's not my choice of how I want to be empowered, but I'm all about other people choosing that for themselves.
But it's like, I want the independence and the community and the female friendships and the experiences, but yeah. Like, not on a motorcycle.
Not on a motorcycle, yeah. I would be friends with just a bunch of women who ride motorcycles.
That'd be cool.
And just like sort of sit on the outskirts of the group and be like, yeah. Do that for great, yay! But have nothing to contribute to the conversation.
I'm a motorcyclist ally.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Bollywood news?
Yeah. I just wanted to share that there was an announcement made, I believe, by our boy Aditya Roy Kapoor about a movie coming out in November called Metro in Dino.
Oh.
And I got very excited about this movie because in addition to Aditya, it stars Sara Ali Khan. Anupam Kher.
Oh my god.
Pankaj Tripathi.
Stop.
And Fatima Sana Sheikh.
That's great.
And the movie is directed by Anurag Basu, who directed Ludo. So
perfect.
It seems like an ensemble movie about love and life, and I'm excited. I also just like Aditya is one of not many of our Bollywood boys who is unwed, and as far as I know, unattached. And mm-hmm. I do just enjoy, like, sometimes he'll play opposite another, like, a single Bollywood woman, and I'm just like, mm-hmm. maybe, you know? And I was like, Aditya?
Maybe
you'll
write some fan fiction about it.
Maybe I'll just will this into existence, Aditya and Sara Ali Khan. That's a good pairing.
That is, yeah.
I want him and Kriti to end up together is my
goal.
But then I also,
is he too old for her?
I think he's too old for Sara Ali Khan, but Kriti is like, she's like a year or two older than me.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sara Ali Khan is probably too young for him, but that's okay. You know, they're all consenting adults. Also, really what I want for, like, all of the women is to, like, maybe not end up with men and just, like, be single and fabulous forever. I mean, you can be married and fabulous, but anyway, I have conflicting feelings about things that I want.
Yeah, single and fabulous forever if that's what they want. But right. If they want to be with a partner, then they should be with Aditya Roy Kapoor.
It could be Aditya Roy Kapoor, yeah. And I'd be into that, yeah.
Yeah. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok. Do what you do. And also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can leave a rating or a review on said podcast platform. But even if you don't do any of those things, thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. And we add the songs from the movies that we watch, the songs we enjoy the most, to those playlists. And we link them in our episode descriptions, as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes.
And
next,
we've been doing a lot of like new stuff, and we are continuing on in that trend for one more week here, because we are watching the 2023 Shah Rukh Khan film Donkey.
Yeah, Donkey was released like late fall 2023.
Yeah.
So we're not that late on the uptake.
No, because it wasn't like released immediately on Netflix, so it's only been on Netflix for like a couple months, so...
Yeah. Got Shah Rukh. I'm seeing it has Bowman Irani, who I think not realized was in it.
I didn't realize he was in it either. Love Bowman Irani. Vicky Kaushal is also in it.
Yeah.
I think this is our first movie with him for the podcast, so that's fun.
Yeah. I am so excited. I just, like, Netflix was just showing me playing a scene, and it looks like there's some classic Shah Rukh charm.
We love to see it.
See.
Yeah, I really don't know what to expect from this movie, but it looks interesting and it's got Shah Rukh in it, and that's pretty much all I need to know about a movie in order to watch it.
Agreed.
On IMDb, our plot description is, when his friends in Punjab struggle to clear the immigration process, an ex-soldier guides them on a risky journey to enter the UK without permission.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that gives me some more context for the Netflix synopsis, which is, a dashing ex-soldier is pulled into a roller coaster of friendship and love while guiding three friends on a risky journey to London.
Mm. Shahrukh is obviously dashing. Like, we definitely agree with that. Yes. But that just made me think of, you ever, like, when people are like, did he write that? Did he write the description?
Dashing.
A very charming, handsome, strong ex-soldier.
That's funny. I mean, yeah, maybe. But it sounds entertaining. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I actually have, like, any expectations for this movie.
I know. I really don't either. So we'll see what it is we experience. IMDb is kind of showing the banner of images, and there's, like, some of Shahrukh looking, like, innocent and sweet, and then there's some of him, like, holding a gun and looking real intense. So we could get, like, the full spectrum here.
That's great. Like, I'm here for it. Me and too. I like that I'm not coming into it with the same energy I came into Fighter with, which was expecting to be, like, blown out of the water.
Right.
I'm just excited to see new Shahrukh.
Me too. Yeah, this seems like a much quieter movie. Like, not literally, yeah, but, like, sort of just vibe-wise.
Agreed. Wunderbar.
Wunderbar.
So, yeah, watch, enjoy, and until next time... Remember, Bollywood doesn't need us, but we need Bollywood.
Especially Bollywood ladies riding motorcycles, experiencing joy.
So wholesome.
Can't live without it.